Good afternoon, and may the Lord give you his peace. This is St. Gabriel Catholic Radio with your daily message of hope. And this is Father Stosh Daly, joined today by Father Chris Yackel. And we are here today to join you on this Thursday and to consider the words of everlasting life given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ in John's Gospel, especially the sixth chapter of John's Gospel. Keep in mind, every Thursday is dedicated to the Holy Eucharist, the Blessed Sacrament, the bread of the angels, the bread of life, and to consider Jesus dwelling among us in the Holy Eucharist. Father Yackel, what comes to your mind when I say the two words, Holy Eucharist?
Oh my gosh.
No, I know this is totally not scripted. like an anvil.
Everything. No, the Holy Eucharist, the source and summit of our faith, changed my life. Like, that's what I think is life-changing.
Yeah.
It changes everything. It's...
So that was a horrible answer. Totally kidding.
Hey, give me some more coffee.
You know, on this, in the sixth chapter of John's Gospel, in the 27th verse, we hear, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him has God the Father set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." I love that particular phrase because, first of all, the Lord highlights, okay, there's a lot that this world's going to throw at you, but it's all going to fall away.
Yeah.
But then there's what I'm offering you.
Yeah.
You know, and he leaves the choice up to us. I mean, he's quite clear. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for that which endures forever. And then what is it? Like, the people respond, well, what do we have to do to get to this food?
Yeah.
And it's simple. Believe. Believe in his words.
Yeah.
In John chapter 6, we Catholics, we turn to John chapter 6 quite frequently when we are put to the test or when we need to meditate upon the reality of the gift of the Holy Eucharist. You know, one of the mysteries of the Rosary from the Luminous set of mysteries, of course, there's one day every week, Thursday, the day of the Last Supper, the day of the First Mass, that's set aside for venerating, honoring, adoring, worshiping the Lord in the Holy Eucharist. And, you know, Father Chris, when you hear Jesus say, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him has God the Father set his seal." What comes to your mind with regard to the Holy Eucharist?
Just how true it is. I think the times where I have tried to fill my life with the perishable things,
the things
of this world that are passing away,
absolutely,
and how empty it leaves me.
Yeah.
And when I, those moments in my life on the flip side of that, when I really do have the Lord as the center of my life, when I'm seeking to fill my life with the bread of life, that gift that prepares us for eternal life is eternal life. Like that does bring fulfillment.
Yeah.
So that even in the midst of like whatever you might be going through in your life, like there's still this sense of fulfillment. There's still this sense of God being with me.
Yeah. People are perhaps right now as they're listening, maybe they're in the car driving home or they just got home. And there's always that practical question, but you know, what can I do? You know, what can I do? Where can I go? What can I accomplish to kind of grow in my love for the Lord? First thing I'm going to throw out there is read chapter 6 of John's Gospel. Those are the words of Jesus. Those are not my words.
Right.
Not Father Chris's words. Right. Not the those are the words of Jesus, you know. Read those words and then go visit the Lord Jesus in the Holy Eucharist.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, but the church, you know, I don't know what's going on there. Get over it. It's the living God. You know, it's not an it, it's a him.
Right.
It's not a what, it's a who.
Right.
It's Jesus. And he's left himself among us in the Holy Eucharist. He's given himself to us in the Holy Eucharist. You know, so when people say, well, like, what can I do to grow? It's like, enter into the Word.
Yeah.
Enter into the Word of God, the Holy Eucharist. And then meditate upon the words of Jesus. You know, I love how he says at the very that end of that quote earlier, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So it's like, okay, we have to take his words at face value.
Right.
It's not up to us to interpret them, change them,
right,
you know, contort them or bend them over. No, we just take the words as they are. later on in John chapter 6, you know, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." I mean, that's the Mass.
Yeah.
I mean, right there, that's the Mass. You know, we go hungry and we leave satisfied. We go broken and we leave healed.
Yeah.
We attend, we enter sinners, but then we leave healed and reconciled and made whole because we've just received the bread of life.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and I love chapter 6 of John. I love that part that you just read, and it just like Jesus keeps coming back to it. He keeps saying it over and over and over. Yep. And when you're reading, you're like, "Didn't I just read this?" Yeah, like a line ago, like two sentences ago. But he's like back to back to back to back. But at the very end of the passage, when some of the disciples leave, they walk away, unfortunately, and Jesus turns to the apostles and says, "Will you also leave me?"
Yeah.
And Peter says, "We have come to believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God. Like, to where else will we go?"
Right.
And I think, what I love about that line is like, this is a deep mystery.
Yeah.
This is one of the deepest mysteries of our faith.
Yeah.
And so even though we don't necessarily fully comprehend like the magnitude of what's happening at the Holy Mass, we believe it because, like you were just saying, like this is Jesus's word. Like he says it so. And even though I don't comprehend it fully, like to whom else do I go?
Where else are you going to go?
Yeah. Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah.
I believe in you.
Yep.
So I believe in you and I want to follow you. And if this is what you're telling me, then I'm going to believe that.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. And over the course of my priesthood, I was stationed at St. Michael's in Worthington, Immaculate Conception in Kenton, Ohio, and Holy Family Church in downtown Columbus. And those three different assignments, very different from each of them as they are, I've always had somebody come up and ask about the Eucharist. And I'm like, "But Father, how do you know? Like, you have this conviction, you have this peace, you have this consolation that Jesus is present in the Eucharist. Like, but how do you know?"
Yeah.
And I said, "Because he came back from the dead."
Yeah.
What?
You know, right,
it's
right,
like, well, I believe he's present in the Eucharist because he said he is.
Yeah.
But he also comes back from the dead. So anybody who can come back from the dead, I don't know, on their own, you know,
might be able to make this happen.
Exactly. So, and if I deny the true presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, then implicitly I'm denying the resurrection.
Right.
And it's not up to me. I am not the judge of the living and the dead. That's the Lord.
Yeah.
And I believe he has risen. You know, I am a witness to the resurrection. I'm not 2,000 years old.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like it, but I'm not. You know, but I know in my prayer life that the Lord lives.
Yeah.
And the Lord is alive and the Lord listens. And with that kind of consolation of knowing the Lord is listening, I know he's alive, which means he did come back from the dead. And if he has the power to come back from the dead, who am I to say he doesn't have the power to make himself present to us in that great mystery that is the Holy Eucharist?
Right.
And when we become overwhelmed, it's like you said at the end of the Bread of Life discourse, Peter's like, "You have the words of everlasting life.
Yeah.
Where else am I supposed to go?"
Yeah, exactly.
He didn't even know that Jesus was going to come back from the dead.
Right.
But Peter understood, like Jesus says over and over and over again, "I am the bread of life.
Yeah.
I am the bread of life. You have to eat my flesh in order to have life within you." I mean, it's like, okay, he's like harping on this.
Yeah. I mean, like over and over and over.
It's definitely not a bumper sticker tagline.
I mean,
there's something there that we have to have. And as priests of Jesus, we are called to love the people as God loves them. And you look out at the congregation, and even perhaps more to the point, you see people going here, going there. And come on, face facts. Oftentimes, our neighbors, we ourselves, we look like walking dead.
Yeah.
We're just like zombies who are just slaves to routine. And it's like, the Lord lives.
Yeah.
Get some joy.
Yeah. Amen.
After the coffee, you know? Get some caffeine.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like even more important than that caffeine is that truth. Jesus lives.
Yeah.
Jesus loves. He's also present among us.
Yeah.
And he wants us to feast on his presence. And that's the Eucharist. I mean, like when you meet a Catholic who's not excited about the Holy Eucharist, it's like you meet a Catholic who's dead. But the thing is, they're not dead as in like, they're in eternity.
Right.
They're like, no, the walking dead.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, the Lord lives. And we all have bad days.
For sure.
We've all got tough days.
Definitely.
So the only way to overcome that is life.
Yeah.
To have life. And yeah. like, you have to have that like zeal, not just as a priest, but as a disciple.
Yeah.
You know, and
one story that I like to tell people about the Holy Eucharist, when I was serving with Net Ministries and yeah. I was assigned to work at a Catholic school, and they would have Eucharistic adoration on Fridays. And so I remember I was in there one time in the chapel, and it was just me, and there was like the second grade class or something like wow. that. And there, I don't even remember what exactly was going on, but it was a really rough day. And this class, they're leaving the chapel, and I happened to look up when the last student was leaving. And I'll never forget this. I have it like ingrained in my memory. She genuflected and then blew a kiss to our Lord in the monstrance. And that really touched
yeah.
my heart. Like, cause I think what I needed in that moment, what I realized is like this, we know that Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist because he loves us.
Yeah.
Like, this is his gift to us, to remind us that whatever you have going on,
yeah.
good and bad, that the Lord loves us so much that he wants to be with us in this world. He wants to be present in a very special way in the Holy Eucharist. Yeah. So I love that, because I think sometimes we just need more childlike faith.
Yep.
And I think that starts with realizing that girl, I'm sure, did not understand all the theological sure. like yeah. intricacies of our belief in the Holy Eucharist, but she knew that she was loved.
Yeah.
She knew that she was loved, and she knew that he was with him. And I think sometimes that's where it starts.
And may we be like that little girl and know that the Lord lives, the Lord loves, and he is present.